And amen, right? So what we're going to do now, we have a little special, take about 3 or 4 minutes. So I want to do this. I want to ask you, let's pray first. Father, thank you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for this time. Lord, we lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you loved us so much, Lord, that you sent Christ to die on the cross for our sins, and you raised him up on the third day, Lord, that we can be secure and we can go to heaven, have a relationship with you. Lord, through Christ, you can teach us how to be better husbands, fathers, mothers, wives. Well, we love you. We thank you for this time. Thank you for the ones that are here this morning. We just pray you blessed this service this morning. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, I almost took a drink. I really did. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to take 3 or 4 minutes here. And Derry's going to start a video in just a second when I cue him. And so I would like to ask that if you or someone in your immediate family has ever served in the branch of service that we're going to play the little song for each branch, and would you please stand and remain standing through that song? Then you can sit back down, and then the next song will come on. And if you or one of your immediate family members have served, we want to honor you, but we also want to honor your family that has served our country. Amen? So let's do that now. Amen. Children's Church, thank you guys for hanging out with us, kids. Man, it makes my eyes leak. You know, that's awesome. Thank you, guys. Thank you for all your service, your family service. We greatly appreciate it. I'm going to take just a few minutes, and I'm going to introduce a friend of mine, and I'm proud to call him a friend and a brother in Christ. So I'm just going to read this little thing I have here, so you'll hang with me. He's our special guest speaker this morning. This is Captain Terry McDonald and his fiancée. They're from Fitzgerald, Georgia. He enlisted in the United States Marine Corps in 1987. He served 8 years, 4 active and 4 reserves. He was recently commissioned in 2004 as a second lieutenant in the U.S. Army Reserves. He currently serves as a senior training officer at Fort Benning, Georgia. Captain McDonald was deployed in the Gulf War and in Afghanistan. All right, here we go. He has a master's degree and an education specialist degree from Liberty University and taught in the public school systems for over 11 years and currently feels a call to the counseling ministry, and we're so honored to have him doing some volunteer work at Penfield. And so we love him and appreciate him very much, and I'd like to give it over to him now. Amen.
Let us start by going to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for your love, your compassion, your grace, your mercy, your truth, your word, God, that's forever settled in the heavens, Lord, that word that gives life and gives strength. Lord, we ask that you'll have your way here as we open the word, that it will be alive to us, that it will dwell in our hearts richly, that we'll have fertile ground to receive it on. And Lord, we ask you to watch over the veterans, Lord, that have served and that are serving now, Lord. We ask, God, that you would bless their families and watch over each one of their children, Lord. And we give you praise, honor, and glory for all you're doing. Thank you for this church, Lord. And we pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Praise God. First of all, I'm very humble and proud and excited about being here at Pauline Baptist Church this morning. I think it was Friday when Dallas called me or texted me, asked me to do this, and I immediately responded with a, sure, I'd be honored to. And I'm very patriotic, but I also know who my Savior is. And without Him, I would be lost. My service means a lot to me, but my service for Christ is paramount to any other service that I have. And I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for each one of you this morning that's come out to hear me. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself, and I hope a lot about Jesus. You notice I standed twice during the playing of the each branch's song. I first stood for the Army because I served in the Army, but I had also served in the Marine Corps. And that's always been a part of me since I joined. I grew up, I'm from Fitzgerald, but I grew up as a military brat. My father was in the Marine Corps when I was born. He was in Vietnam, matter of fact, when I was born. That was in 1967. He had another year left on his tour in Vietnam, and he came back a month early. He was wounded. He took on mortar attack. His face was all blown up, some of his neck. He had earned the Silver Star and the Purple Heart during that Tet Offensive. Some of you may know the history of Vietnam. And he was hit. So the first time I saw my father was maybe a year after he went to rehab. Said I didn't want nothing to do with him. I didn't know who he was. Of course, I was a war baby. But he won me over. It didn't take long, he said, that he was able to have me jump in his lap. But war is not the most wonderful thing. I've seen it firsthand as a child. And I remember seeing him off for the second time that he went. I think I was about 5 years old. And I seen him fly over the trees. And I just thought Vietnam was on the other side of that tree line in Montgomery, Alabama. That's where my mom's from. But he was actually flying way over to Vietnam. And so what I know what it's like to be on that end of war as a child. He went on many other deployments throughout my childhood. I remember missing him a great deal growing up. But one thing about it, there was another one at home that took care of us. There's four children. I was the third one. My mother made sure we was in church every Sunday. I was in Sunday school, went to Sunday service, training union, if y'all remember what that was, training union back in the day. I went to RAs, Royal Ambassadors, every Wednesday night. One of the best times I've ever had as a child was at RAs and going on trips and activities with the RAs. And I was also going to with my mom to Meals on Wheels, nursing homes. I was going all over the place, learning about serving others. And that's what my mom did. She was at home. I've seen it from that perspective. My mother making sure that her children were engaged in Christ and taking care of the home front. As soon after my dad retired in 1983 from 22 or 23 years of service in the Marines, I graduated in 86, and in 87, I joined the Marine Corps myself. I remember him taking me to Albany Recruiting Center, and he dropped me off. I was supposed to join the Air Force. My brother was already in the Air Force, and I thought, you know, my dad said, you know, this is a good, safe route to go. Go to the Air Force. He didn't want me to join the Marine Corps. And so I went in there to talk to the recruiter, and I had had previous troubles with the law, and we might get into that later. But anyways, the Air Force didn't want me. So I crossed the hall and went to the Marine recruiter. No, I'm sorry. I went to the Navy recruiter, and then I went to the Army, and then finally I went to the Marine Corps last, and I joined. I went back out. My dad came back to pick me up, and I told him, I said, I didn't join the Air Force, Dad. I joined the Marine Corps. He said, you did what? He marched me back in there and made sure that they were going to take care of me and make sure my MOS was correct. Well, 0311 is, you know what that is, Dallas. So I ended up joining the Marine Corps, went on to Parris Island, and served from 87 to 95, 4 years active, 4 years reserve time. And I was with the 3rd Marine Regiment in Hawaii, stationed there with a grunt unit. And we deployed in August of 90 to the first Gulf War. And that was my first taste of war, but the Marine Corps, that's what they train you for, right? And so I was very engaged in wanting to serve my country. I wanted to do my country proud. I wanted to do what my father had done. And so I went there and saw some things I didn't want to see, to be frank with you. War is not glamorous. It's not pretty. So we finished there and came back, served my 4 years reserve time, and then got out of the Marine Corps. At this point in time, I was struggling with alcohol addiction. It had control of my life. And when I came home from the Marine Corps, I started going to church, and I got tired of the life that I was living. I was tired of going to drink when I didn't want to. And so I started going to church. I got involved in church, went back to college, started having kids, living life. And I was called to the ministry. And so I went to Liberty University, got my Master of Arts in Religion, and studied. And I'm just going to do this briefly. It'll take us up to 9/11. When 9/11 took place, that done something to me. It made me want to get back into service and serve again. And so in 2004, I was commissioned into the Army Reserves as a chaplain. And so for the next 6 years, I would serve as a chaplain in the Army. And it was some of the best ministry that I've been involved with in my time. We helped with Katrina, the hurricane relief efforts down there. I was up at Walter Reed for a while, seeing troops come back from Afghanistan and Iraq, wounded, scarred emotionally, physically, and we would minister to them. And I can remember one time in Dallas, you'll appreciate this, we were in a rehab portion of the hospital, and they're engaged in activities, rehabilitating, you know, working out, doing this, and working on their wounds. And I can remember this Marine was walking down the hallway, and he looked like he was in charge. I mean, you know, like a drill instructor. And I can remember him walking down the middle of the hallway there and telling others this, of commanding this, and he just looked so happy. But I also noticed he didn't have no legs. But yet he was still happy, and he was still taking charge, and he was still patriotic. He was still there. And I can remember talking to him later. I said, what gives you this peace and this comfort? He said, it's Jesus. He said, I'm still walking for the Lord. And he was. He was walking on those prosthetics. And he didn't miss a step. He didn't miss a beat. And it's that drive that is inside a soldier that wants to go further and do more. And many of you have families, friends, loved ones that have been in harm's way, that are going to be in harm's way, or are there now. And I just want you to know that I felt Dallas's tears there and what they meant. Because there's been a sacrifice. There's been pain. When they come back from war, they're still in pain. Emotionally, physically, perhaps. It's hard to get back into civilian life oftentimes. You have children that have been without parents or a parent. You've had children that have suffered the ultimate loss. And so this is why we honor those vets and those ones that are serving now. But I wanted to get back in, and so I did. I served in that capacity, but I went through a divorce in 2007 after 15 years, and we had two boys that are both serving now. One's a second lieutenant in the Army. Right now he's at Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri, and I got another son that just joined. He's a private in the Army. So living for the Lord, ministry, getting my children where they need to be in Christ, and then I went through a divorce, and it set me back. And I slowly, gradually went away from God over, I guess, a 9-year, 10-year time frame. And I went back into that addiction, eventually, into that alcohol addiction. I had just went to Afghanistan in 2013 and 14, came back. Within a year and a half, I had 3 DUIs. I was drinking outrageously. And I was back in that place, you know, where I was going where I didn't want to go. I was doing what I didn't want to do. I was causing people pain that I loved. My parents, my children. And it'll hurt when your children come to you. And both of my kids did intervention on me. And Katrina and my parents. And my son told me this. He said, I'm this close to giving up on you, Dad. And they moved out. Both my children left me that night. And I was at a low point. And I said, I've got to change. I've got to do something. And so I had committed myself to go to Penfield. And I went to Penfield. And God is awesome because he'll bring you back to where you left off at. With him. That's what he's done for me. It's like he's just put me right back and said, this is where you're supposed to be all along. You're supposed to be here serving me and doing for me and living for me. And so after a week there, once I got past the physiological parts of addiction, the Spirit of God started dealing with me, filling my heart, giving me strength to continue on, took the addiction mindset out of my head, and renewed my self-worth. My self-worth is up here now, you know, whereas before, while using, it was very low. I remember that night they left me, and I don't tell many people this, but I was desperate, and I asked my son, I said, where'd you put my gun at? Because they done hit everything. And he said, I put it up. He said, you're suicidal. I said, wow. And so that was a low point right there. And for your children to stand up in your face like that, the courage that they had to tell me that I had a problem, it meant the world to me now. I'm so glad they stood up, stepped up, and said, Dad, you got a problem. And so I acknowledged it. And Penfield has been great to me. Dallas, I've learned a lot from just over the last month or so. And my faith in Christ has grown stronger. And it's rich. And I'm doing everything I can now to serve and to help others with the same situation, the same problems that I had. I suffer from PTSD. Afghanistan was worse than the Gulf War for me. And so I saw things, took part in things that that hurts. It's like the old mindset said I was dealt this card, I got to deal with it the rest of my life. But now I have freedom through Christ Jesus. Now I can live a life that's worth living and a life that, hey, is proud and honorable. But I want to take us to some scripture here. And in your book, your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 1. It says here, when he had concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion slave, who was highly valued by him, was sick and about to die. Having heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, requesting him to come and save his slave's life. When they reached Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, he is worthy for you to grant this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. Jesus went with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent his friends to tell him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, since I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. That is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be cured. For I, too, am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. Hearing this, Jesus was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, said, I tell you, I have not found so great a faith, even in Israel. When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. I can remember when I joined the Marine Corps, I was private. I was the low man on the totem pole, right? And when I went to Paris Island, it was telling me to do this, I'd go do that. Tell me to do this, I'd go do this. And so I learned, and I said, what did I get myself into when I first got there? Like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a long 3 months. But I learned that to move for the drill instructor, the senior NCO, the captain, the officers. And so I know what it's like. And this centurion knows what it's like, see. He knows he has leaders and that he has to follow directions. And he knows he has people or soldiers that work for him. And every time he tells them, this is a Roman centurion, a Gentile, one that actually helped with the church there. They helped build the church for those in the synagogue there. And he was a centurion of in the Roman army. So a centurion is a leader of 100. Okay? And so he's got about 100 underneath his command. He tells us that. And so I also know what it's like to be an officer or a captain where I've commanded before. So maybe 100 soldiers, 60 to 100 soldiers in my company. And I say this and they do this and that. And so I know what it's like to be on both spectrums. And so this centurion knew that. And he knew that Jesus had the ultimate authority. And so he was caring man. He cared for his slave, his servant. He was humble. He said, "Don't even come underneath my roof. I'm not worthy." You know, the Lord says, be humble. Okay? Humble. That brings praise to God. He said he lifts up the humble. And so this is what he did for the centurion. He moved for him and said, whatever the disease was, in Matthew chapter 8, it says that he was paralyzed. And so the paralyzed man was made whole by a word only. Jesus didn't have to go there. The centurion knew the ultimate word and the power behind the word. If you tell this disease to go, it's got to go. And so he said, just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. And sure enough, when they went back, he was healed. And he was made whole. And that's what Christ has done for me. He has told this addiction, go. He speak the word only, go. And he brought me victory over the addiction, over alcoholism. And now my life is looking so much better just because of a word. That powerful word that God speaks. That powerful word that Jesus spoke to this disease. Don't you think he can do it for any ailment that we have? Any emotional problems that we have? Physical, psychological, whatever you may be facing today. Speak the word only, God. And I know that I'll be made whole. Because he has the ultimate authority. The Bible says that he spoke words with authority. And when he said something, it gets done. It's just like a soldier. You remember when the officer came on deck, the first person that sees him, he says, attention, officer on deck. And everybody pops to attention and they lock in. And then he says, at ease. And so that's the kind of respect and honor that Christ has to everything under the sun. He has everything underneath his feet. It says in the book of Hebrews that he is the captain of our salvation. And so he has ultimate authority. And he is the captain of my salvation. And I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for his glory, his presence, the Holy Spirit. And I challenge you today, if any of you have an issue that you're facing, it may be a physical ailment, an emotional pain, grieving process of losing someone, relationships, marriages, I encourage you to say what the centurion said. Speak the word only, and everything will fall at the authority of Jesus. Thank you very much.
All right, amen. Praise the Lord, huh? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, guys. So let's go ahead and as we do the song of invitation, I'd like to ask if there's anyone here that's never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you feel like God's calling you home. You can't have a personal relationship with God. So as we sing and everybody stands, I'd ask you to come down if you'd like. Come down, and I'd be glad to pray with you. If you feel like the Lord's calling you down to give your life to Christ, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And if you maybe feel like you'd like to be a part of our church, you know, that's awesome. We'd love for you to come down and we'll talk about it and get started in the right way. But, we love you guys, and amen, huh? Amen. Let's go.